One of my favorite yearly NBA columns finally came out, and since I now am on a website where I can talk about it, I decided that it was a good idea to do that. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Jared Dubin. Jared, how you doing this morning?
Well, man, thanks for ringing me up to do this.
Yeah, I figured we have no one's listened to us together since it's been since the off season. I think when we did the previews, I think we gave enough of a break that people could listen to us together again.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the Knicks today, so that should be very enjoyable.
Yes, that's very true. Oh, yeah, this is the Podium Game podcast, in case you didn't know that. I forgot to add that one in. The column I'm talking about, and let me thank you to Bill Simmons for doing all the legwork on this and giving us a starting point to discuss. We're going to talk about what is typically his trade value column, but it actually hasn't dropped part two yet.
But I would assume we're recording this on Friday. I would assume that part two is going to drop later today. You know, part one a couple weeks ago, then they released on the Grantland Basketball Show part two. But I would assume that like a column is forthcoming with the explanations also for part two.
Yeah, you would think. I basically sifted through the DVR and just wrote down the entire list is how we were able to do that. But as always, so let me make this clear. What everyone has different opinions on this stuff. This isn't us ripping Simmons. We just might have a little bit of a different opinion of him on the list. We're not going to sit, it's not good discussion to sit here and go, oh, I just agree with everything he says. That's wouldn't be fun.
There's a lot on the list that I agree with, and there's some on the list that I don't.
Exactly. So this isn't us taking a shot at Simmons or anything like that. Let's start off with, so there's 60 guys. I put together a list of guys I would consider moving in for some of the ones I would move off. Do you want me to start with my list, or would you like to add some guys that he missed that you might put on first? I'll give you the choice.
No, you go ahead.
All right, so the group I came up with was Nets center Mason Plumlee, Nuggets center Timothy Mozgov. I can't believe
Mozgov's now on the Cavs.
Yes. Oh, what did I say, Nuggets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mozgov is on the Cavs, and I knew that. I watched him play basketball last night. Heat center, Hassan Whiteside, which I can't believe that that's even a thing, but it is. 76ers wing, Robert Covington. He's on this because he has one of those contracts for 4 years. He got the Chandler Parsons deal, so he's under control at an extremely cheap price for a long time. Bucks wing, Chris Middleton. Blazers center, Robin Lopez. Two Rockets, Donuts. Thank you for coming up with that nickname or wherever you got it from. That's way easier than saying his real name.
I mostly came up because I still can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, I think me and you are on the same page with name pronunciation. We're not very good at it. Any time a nickname is able to be used, I am in favor. The other Rocket guy, Terrence Jones. This one I actually think, I wouldn't be surprised if it was an oversight and he left him out by accident, or if I just, maybe I scrolled over him when I'm looking through and missed it. DeAndre Jordan wasn't on the list.
DeAndre's only got like 3 months left on his contract.
But he has a lot of guys with expiring contracts on it. That's why I wouldn't rule out that maybe he just forgot him. I don't think, unless I have to go back and read his intro, maybe he talked about him specifically in there, in the part one that he did, but I don't remember that off the top of my head. Three more players left. Jrue Holiday, Ricky Rubio, and Steven Adams. So that was my list of guys that I would have under consideration for moving onto the list if I decided to pull someone off it.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good list. I'm not sure, you know, which guys I'd bump for any of them. You know, just looking at the full list now, like the first guys that I'd bump, I think would probably be like Monroe, Jonas. There's really nobody else that I think I'd bump off the list. Like, I think everybody else needs to be on there.
See, I would put, right off the top, I would put Jrue Holiday or Rubio over Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight's a restricted free agent. He's most likely going to end up getting paid right around the same amount as Holiday and Rubio. and I like Holiday and Rubio as players better than Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely like Drew more than Knight. The version of Knight this season, I think, is better than what... I don't know. You could sort of opposite players with Rubio, I guess.
And then, like, the centers... He had that group, though. It's interesting. Malen, Valanciunas, Vucevic, Nurkic. You could kind of go any way with Plumlee, Mozgov, and Adams with those guys. I think Valanciunas also. I think they're all kind of on the same level, and it's just picking and choosing. You're nitpicking which one you go with there.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I think Pau. I'm not sure that he should be on the list.
Well, we can... That which brings us to... That's the one thing I think I disagreed with most with Simmons on the list was he gave a lot of love to some of the old guys. Like, I definitely wouldn't have... Powell definitely wouldn't be on my list. And I think he has Dirk too high.
Well, I think, you know, the thing with guys like... So Wade is at 25... Duncan's at 24, Dirk is at 23. I think what you also have to consider about this is it's a trade value list, and the whole conceit is like if somebody called that team and was like, we'll trade you guy X for guy Y, and guy Y is, you know, Duncan, Wade, or Dirk, like there are very few guys that the Spurs, Heat, and Mavs actually trade those guys for. Like, the list is basically Anthony Davis, and that's probably it, realistically, for those guys, just because of how much they mean to the team and the organization. So I think it makes a little bit of sense to have those guys as high as they are because of the whole, like, it's not just, like, these are the most valuable assets on the basketball court column. It's, like, these are the guys that their teams would actually trade them for. And I think that because of how much those older stars mean to their teams, that their value is a little bit higher in this discussion than it is on the court.
That when you say it like that, it does make sense. I was thinking of, and that's how Simmons puts it out there, so that's important for where he's ranking the guys. I was kind of thinking of it, how I think of it is, are these guys I would want to acquire to build a team around going forward? So
yeah, so it's a little bit different.
Yes, exactly.
But I also think that, like, Pau still, I mean, I guess, you know, you never know with the Bulls, but, I mean, I would trade Pau for any number of guys on this list.
Zebo's another one, but I...
Like, how Pau is 10 spots ahead of Kevin Love is just mind-boggling.
Pau would be one of the first people I would pull off the list. For me, Wade wouldn't... From the way I'm doing it, Wade would be... I probably wouldn't have Wade on the list.
Right. I mean, it's different...
concepts.
It's a completely different concept, yeah.
One of the guys, another that I... He has a 41, Joakim Noah. There's no, again, from the perspective of what the Bulls would do, yes, it makes sense to have him from 41, but the way I'm thinking of it, if I'm another team, he's not someone I would be really interested in trading for and then having to sign to his next contract.
Hey, you have a very detailed history of anti-Joakim Noah-ness. You've been on this for a couple of years now.
Has he not continuously declined? I mean, he's not playing well again. He's gotten a little bit better recently, but he has not...
Well, I wouldn't say last year he declined. Last year he was great.
But once the playoffs came around, he got eaten alive because he was injured again.
Yeah, I think this year a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's playing with Pau. He's not playing center, really, on defense. He's been drawn much further away from the hoop, and he's not able to do, like... his real Joakim Noah routine on defense because he's not in the places that he has been over the years and that he should be given his skill set and sort of body composition right now.
He's all his field goal percentage is also following the same pattern of it's going down. It went down again. He's under 50% this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same thing as on defense. Like, he's operating further from the hoop because Powell needs to be right next to the basket.
Both logical and fair points that I don't dispute. You know, a sad one that you probably have to drop, and the injury didn't happen again until after the column was written, but Bradley Beal probably has to go down.
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot throughout his career now. And this current injury is like a stress reaction in his leg. And I think he had a previous stress reaction in his leg.
It's been the same injury 3 straight years.
Okay, yeah. So that's definitely concerning. You know, usually you see that kind of thing with a big man. You know, repeated stress injuries in the leg or the foot or whatever it is. I'm not sure it's something we've really seen with a guard before.
It's a good question. I would bet through time it's probably happened and we just don't remember. But it's not. It's
probably
not,
to somebody not as notable as Bradley Beal.
Yeah, and it's just something like this. We just kind of link to big men more. I feel like the lower leg injuries that recur, like someone like Brook Lopez, you think of something like this, even though that was more of a foot thing.
Right, and then, you know, Yao, same thing. Bill Walton, those are guys that had, you know, repeated foot injuries, you know, whether it was a broken foot or a stress reaction of the foot. Zydrunas Ilgauskas, same thing. You know, sort of derailed pretty much all of their careers from, you know, how good they could have been.
So Beal's too high then at this point.
We should say Beal is at 28. So for example, he's ahead of Jimmy Butler, who I think at this point, given Beal's injury history, would probably have to be ahead of him.
Yeah, even like someone like Jeff Teague, Markieff Morris, Derek Favors, guys like that, I would probably move up ahead of him. Eric Bledsoe.
One of the things I actually want to make a point about is that I think in total, just as a whole, like the position of point guards generally are too high on the list because it's the most replaceable position in the league because there are so many good point guards. I mean, it's insane how many good ones there are. And I think you've seen with a lot of teams moving towards more of like a spread kind of offense that the number of point guards that can succeed like that is very high. And I mean, if you look at it, so there's on the list, there's Brandon Knight, Goran Dragic, Ty Lawson, Eric Bledsoe, Jeff Teague, Kyrie, Conley, Parker, Lowry, Lillard, Paul, Russ, and Steph. That's a fifth of the list. And that's, you know, so that's 12 out of the 60 guys on the list. I mean, are you telling me that you put, so you, like you said, put Drew Holiday on any one of the teams that those guys are currently on, how many of them would be, you know, significantly worse? I think it's really just Steph's team, Russ's team, Wall's team, Paul's, probably Lillard, Conley, but, I mean, if you put him on the Cavs or the Suns or the Nuggets or the Hawks, like, how much worse are those teams really getting with Brandon Knight instead of their point guard? I don't think it's that much.
And even some of the ones you mentioned, there'd be a drop-off, but they would still be able to function at a high level.
I meant with Drew Holiday instead of their current point guard. Like, yeah. If you have Drew Holiday instead of Kyrie, like, on the Cavs, is that team really worse? And I mean, I guess that's going against the conceit. Like, the Cavs would never trade Kyrie for Drew Holiday. So, but just in general, I think that, you know, the point guards might be considered a little bit too valuable.
Since you brought up point guards, I want to stick with this. I feel like Kyrie is the new Westbrook. in that everyone just zeroes in on his flaws and is ignoring how damn good he's been this year. Like, what's...
Oh, he's been incredible. I mean, the way he's shooting, and it's crazy because at the beginning of the season, you know, the numbers were really ugly shooting-wise in terms of him shooting, like, off of pass from LeBron. I remember looking at, like, the new Sport Review passer to shooter stuff, and, I mean, it was a little ridiculous how poorly he was shooting off passes from LeBron, and that's turned around a lot.
His numbers are basically identical to Lillard's. He's 22, Lillard is 24, yet Lillard, and they both are that score-first mentality, too. It's always interesting how the guys we choose to give a pass for that and the ones we zone in on and use it as a critique. Like, Lillard gets away with it, no one cares. Rose got an MVP, no one cared. But for a long time, Westbrook got killed for it.
Still gets killed for it.
I do think the sentiment has changed a little bit, that people kind of accept he's so good that, at least the people I see and interact with and follow on Twitter, I don't see as much of a negative typecast as I used to. I feel like the tone's changed a little bit.
Well, I think some of that's got to be because KD's been out for a lot of the year, right?
That's a good point. So when he played and KD wasn't there, maybe people kind of saw that, like, all right, this guy really is as...
Yeah, I mean, the numbers this year for him, when KD doesn't play, are insane. Like, I saw it the other day, averaging something like, you know, 32-8-8 when KD doesn't play or something.
Yeah, and there was a point in the season that his per, I don't know if it's still the same, but his per 36 numbers were beyond absurd. Because he was putting up those numbers playing like 28, 29 minutes a game early in the season.
Yeah, he's back playing more minutes now. But still, the per 36s, you know, when I wrote the, like, the point guard power rankings thing I did, I guess it was like almost 2 months ago now, the what he was doing on a per 36 basis, and even on a game-to-game basis, like, even discounting minutes, was unheard of in the history of professional basketball.
Yeah, it was. He's been such a blast to watch this year. So I feel like we have a tendency to overrate the Blazers guys. Aldridge is at 13. He's an expiring contract. He's about to get paid massive amounts of money. Why is he? I don't get why he's at 13. And you have, look, I understand Melo's hurt and whatnot. That's certainly a factor that plays into this. But you have Melo and Bosh at 33 and 32, and I don't think there's that much of a significant difference between them and Aldridge.
Well, I think Aldridge is a significantly better defensive player than Melo, as you know, just as one.
I don't think that
why he's so far ahead.
I don't think the difference is as big when Melo's playing the four versus the three. But if he's not playing that, that doesn't really matter. I kind of like Bosh more than Aldridge.
Well, I think, again, it comes down to, you know, the whole conceit of the column is, would the team that he's on trade him for that other guy? I think that the Blazers would definitely not trade Aldridge for Bosh. Like, I think that they would hang up the phone.
Agree. I mean, Melo's a better offensive. Okay, so, this is the if Melo gets healthy, he gets the surgery off season. He looks.
But you're already qualifying with if he gets healthy and gets the surgery and blah blah blah. So you're already at a point where, you know, the Blazers are hanging up.
Okay, fair, but
I think the Knicks are too. I think that's it goes back to, you know, how much a guy means to an organization and blah 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 blah.
Play along with me here. Are the Blazers better with Melo in that group? Like, if you took Aldridge...
I don't think so.
They're better offensively, which I think... I mean, just mathematically, it would work out that way.
The thing, I think it changes sort of the composition of their offense, because you know, now you're not, you know, running Lillard all pick and roll, pick and pop all the time. Because, I mean, Melo's not a guy that's going to sit there and set screens and play the role man. He just doesn't do it.
You tell him to pick and pop and shoot a bunch of threes off of it.
Use it that way, and, you know, people have been saying that, you know, I've been saying that for fucking years and years, but he just do it. Like, you could say you could use him that way all you want, but it's just not something that happens when he's actually on the basketball court. So now you're talking about fundamentally changing the way they play on offense, and, you know, yet maybe mathematically you would think that their offense would get better because, you know, some of these shots that Aldridge is taking from, you know, 19, 20 feet would now become threes, but, you know, they're not necessarily getting the same quality of shots because their offense is being run differently. And then they're definitely better on defense. So I'm not sure that I would agree.
That just comes back to me not loving Aldridge's game. Yeah, I understand he's an extremely effective player. He's one of the top best 20 to 25 players in the NBA. There's no argument against it. Just when I'm comparing him to some of these other top guys, my preference goes towards the other ones that maybe have a little bit more versatility to their game versus what Aldridge does. I prefer someone with a little bit more handle who can create his own shot in a different way than Aldridge Judge. It might just be that I aesthetically don't enjoy watching Aldridge play, and I hold that against him.
I mean, it could be. But I also think that he's sort of, you know, the prototype guy that, you know, makes what they do offensively work. You know, the way they run their low offense, a lot of it is like a lot of moving parts and screening where he winds up with the ball in the mid post or above the free throw line. And then there are cutters and shooters sort of swirling around. And, you know, a lot of it flows from that initial, you know, Lillard Aldridge pick and pop or Lillard Lopez pick and roll with Aldridge coming up behind it. You need a guy that can do all of those things equally well. And there are not a lot of big guys that are versatile enough to do all of those things equally well.
That's a very valid point. All right. Rudy Gobert, 34. Andre Drummond, 27. Who should be higher?
Shit. I mean, I think Drummond is probably a little bit more advanced offensively right now than Gobert, just because he's sort of been doing that, you know, Tyson Chandler imitation longer. And I'm not sure if Gobert will ever really have, it's not really the skill level. I think that Drummond has more potential as an offensive player than Gobert does. But Gobert is just, I mean, it's invaluable the type of defense he provides. And already at such a young age, it's insane.
I think I'd take Gobert. Part of the reason is if you're playing the ceiling game, I think it's not out of the question his is a little bit higher if they both reach their peak because he can shoot free throws at a somewhat reasonable rate. I think that's pretty important also.
That's fair.
Like he's shooting 61% from the line this year, so I think...
So just as an example, you know, you have those two guys, and then we said something before about, you know, I would rather have DeAndre Jordan than both of them. And he's not on the list.
I wish I went back and read his intro before. I think that's weird that he doesn't have Jordan on the list. Would I take Gobert with the rest of his rookie contract or sign Jordan to a max contract? I think I might take the cheap Gobert years.
And it's not about the contract that Jordan is going to have. It's about the contract he's currently on.
But are you not figuring in the future of that as part of it? Don't you kind of have to think of that as you do
it? Okay, he does have DeAndre in his intro.
Okay.
He's a surprisingly mediocre one-on-one defender. I'm not sure I agree with that. He gets yanked from crunch time more often than you think. The Clippers haven't run a single play for him since Doc showed up. But he's a top five rebounder and top rim protector for two straight seasons. He's only 26. He's Blake's best friend. This summer, DeAndre will be the most expensive player who can't score in NBA history. A lot of that is true.
Yeah, I think if they play well without Blake during this stretch, he could really help his value a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it a few weeks ago. He's going to get a max contract.
Was that the one where you suggested him for the Knicks?
I never suggested him for the Knicks. People just saw that and were like, the Knicks should sign him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's going to wind up being the best big man on the market after Mark and LaMarcus Aldridge re-sign fairly quickly. And, you know, he's going to be the best guy out there. So he's 26. You can build a top defense around him. He's the best rebounder in the league. And he's a big guy. So he is going to get a max deal this summer.
Speaking of centers, I think Dwight's probably too high. I think at this point, there's a reasonable amount of guys Maury would trade him for.
Well, he's at 31, so yeah. 30 guys ahead of him.
He's hurt again. His game is complete. And this is not from a Dwight hater. I think Dwight healthy is, I think most of the stuff spewed about him is complete nonsense. But
right, like healthy Dwight is a top 10 guy. But we just don't know if healthy Dwight exists anymore.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to pay him again in the near future. So that's a...
For another 2 years, though. True. Getting, when he's on the court, top 10 production for... You know, when you have a guy like that, this top 10 production, you're getting it on a discount, really, because of the nature of max contracts where the salary is capped. It's more valuable than what the numbers are.
I like where he had Wiggins. I thought that was 21.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing for me. So there's only Oladipo, Len, Nurkic, Mirotic, Jabari, Giannis, Bede, Gobert, Wiggins. There's only 9 guys in their first 2 years in the league on the list, which I think is interesting. Just because, the contracts are so cheap. And this year's draft, the 2014 draft, was hyped up, you know, beyond belief. And I think only 2 guys wound up on the list, Jabari and Wiggins, which is sort of crazy.
Oh, Embiid,
right. So, yeah, I mean, the top 3 picks, so I guess that makes some sense. Oh, and Nurkic.
Oh, yeah.
4 guys.
good point.
Yeah, and so then, never mind. But, like, where the fuck is Mitch McGarry? Come on.
He didn't have those 2 games when this was written.
Nah, I'm fucking around.
Yeah. I talked about him with Vicini on the last Amateur Hour podcast, and I cried a little bit. It made me upset.
Which is great, by the way. I love that podcast. Yes, and it's a great name.
I was really proud that I came up with a good name. At first, I emailed everyone out and asked for help, and none of them really clicked, and I don't know when I came up with it, but my history of naming podcasts is truly awful. Like, the Podium Game podcast, the Knickerblogger podcast, the Bright Side of the Sun podcast. Like, I just take the title of the website, and I add podcasts to it.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who once named an article, this is an article about Sean Livingston.
You came up with a creative name for your other podcast, though.
Yeah, well, that's, it just sort of, I was talking to Jordan before I decided to do a podcast about, you know, I'm going to do a podcast. And then he's like, well, come up with some sort of theme, because we already have, like, a couple of general podcasts. And it sort of came naturally when I decided what the theme was going to be.
You deserve credit. Anytime you come up with a podcast name that no one has any clue what you're talking about,
unless they watched a really obscure Aaron Sorkin show.
Yes, you're doing the podcast name.
Or they know Latin for some reason.
I tried to take Latin my senior year of high school for some reason instead of like Spanish, and then I stopped and I was like, wait, it's my senior year of high school and I don't want to actually do work, so I'm not.
Yeah, my current roommate took Latin when we were senior when we were juniors in high school, and he wound up in the same class as his sister, who's 2 years younger than us, and his mom told his sister to let him cheat off of her in the class, and she wouldn't let him do it. Shout out to Robin Smooth. Great job.
That's mean. What? No brother or sister love there. Won't help him out. Jeez. My sister and I, we were always on the same team. Like, if a progress report came to the house, we would hide it for each other. Like, we'd always help each other.
Yeah, me and my brother would just pretend that those things never existed.
Mine, like, stopped magically existing, like, my junior year of high school. And my mom would be like, so we don't get progress reports anymore? I bet. I have no idea what you are talking about.
Anyway, let's back to this list, because
Let's go to the top. So, a guy
I have just a quick thing on sort of the back end of the list first. So he's got, you know, all in a row, Jonas, Vucevic, Nurkic, and Mirotic. First of all, that's sort of like four in a row right there.
And it's even more because you can Len also.
He's foreign?
Yeah, he's from New Zealand somewhere. Hold on, let me look so I'm not just saying stuff that's completely...
I mean, see, I'm not counting him as foreign because, like, he went to Maryland. I'm talking about, like, guys that came from overseas directly.
Okay, but yeah, where Ukraine.
Okay, but, like, first of all, you know, the hype, the pre-Jonas hype before he came into the league was, like, one of the most annoying things that I can remember. But he's actually turned into a pretty nice player. But, so Mirotic, I think, is a guy that not necessarily should be higher because of, you know, he's a better player than some guys, but I think one of the reasons he only wound up at 46 is because Thibodeau, like, just seems like he just doesn't like him or something and, like, doesn't want to play him. I don't really understand it, like, why he doesn't play as much as he should. And I feel like if Thibodeau, like, just deigned to put this guy on the court, he would have wound up significantly higher on the list, like, inside the top 30.
The Bulls and Thunder kind of have a similar, and I'd say the Bulls is even more extreme. The Thunder is more, it feels more like a planned out process that they bring guys along slowly. We've seen that with Reggie Jackson when you thought maybe he should have been playing more at a younger age, but they brought him along. They did it with Harden. The only two guys they kind of let rip right away were Durant and Westbrook. At all their other guys, they did it with Steven Adams. That they kind of bring guys along slowly. The Bulls do the same thing, but it's more Thibodeau refuses. Thibodeau
doesn't like playing young guys. But yeah, the thing is, Mirotic is already 24. Like, I think him and Jimmy Butler might be the same age.
I didn't realize he was that old. I'll be the first to admit that I didn't realize.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's 25, Mirotic is 24. I mean, it's Mirotic's first year in the NBA. Is it Mirotic? Mirotic? Like, how the hell do you pronounce this guy's name, by the way?
I think you're saying it right. That's how I would pronounce it.
He also has, like, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful beard. Let's just throw that out there. As a facial hair connoisseur, I appreciate it. You know, his shooting has gone down a bit over the last few weeks or so. But I think a lot of that is just, you know, he doesn't play very much. And when you don't play much, your confidence is eroding, and that affects your shot.
Hey, just look at what's happening with Tony Snell right now. I mean, it's not, he played great in summer league this year. He looked awesome. He was one.
Yeah,
of
that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the point he showed. I'm assuming that he showed some of those things that there were positives. You could see positive steps from last year from where he was. And I'm assuming he was doing some of the same things in practice, that summer league wasn't the only time that he was showing off that he could make three-pointers and he had expanded his game. And now he's finally getting the chance in the regular season, and it shouldn't have taken this long. The Bulls were in a situation where they could have given him considering they play Jimmy Butler some absurd amount of minutes, that there was more of an opportunity to get, there's plenty of opportunity to get Snell 10 to 15 minutes every night instead of him sitting there and not playing, that it's another example of Thibodeau just refusing to play young guys and overplaying guys he shouldn't be, which is ridiculous considering how deep that roster is. There's really no reason for anyone on that team to be overworked.
I feel like someday there's going to be a class action lawsuit against Thibodeau from, like, the Waldang, Jimmy Butler, and, like, whoever the next guy is that he decides needs to play, like, 50 minutes a game. That's actually a pretty good, like, joke column idea that I should have not mentioned on this podcast and just written about.
You should do it anyway. Well, just, there you go. You got your starting point now.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that might happen at some point.
Well, by the way, what are you doing up at it's All-Star Weekend in New York. It's 10:30. Did you not participate in All-Star festivities last night?
Not in, like, the official All-Star festivities. You know, I went to the live taping of NBA After Dark, the Grantland podcast, and then a bunch of us met up in Brooklyn afterward, probably, you know, like 30 people or so. It was a good time.
What else are you doing? Anything else this weekend?
There's a meetup for HP people that are here. I'm not going to the actual events. I feel like I would rather just hang out with people when they're not at the events. You know, everybody's in my city, so I can go. And yes, it's my city. I own it. it's easy for me to get around, go see people. I'm not working on anything that I need to be at All-Star for. I feel like anything that's worthwhile that people are saying is going to get tweeted out within 2 seconds anyway. So I don't feel the need to go to the events.
One of my worst experiences in life was when the All-Star game was in Phoenix and I went to the rookie game, and you're surrounded by 20,000 screaming 13-year-olds or 10-year-olds, whatever it was.
Listen, we don't want to alienate any possible listeners of the podcast. We are a podcast that appeals to all ages. We're not against 13-year-olds.
Were we appealing to 13-year-olds when you were dropping F-bombs earlier?
Well, I mean, Wurzburg, I think, is like 13 years old, and I'm hoping he listens to the podcast.
But, oh, that, I've never, and you have to sit there for 2 hours. That was a miserable, and I love the rookie game, but that was a miserable thing to be at.
Can we talk about why is it called the Rising Stars Challenge now? Like, just call it the rookie game. Come on.
Do you like that they went to the different format?
I don't care. Doesn't matter at all. I'm not going to watch it. It's the All-Star game, but with worse players.
But what happens if you might miss the experience of seeing two people like Dion Waiters and Tim Hardaway Jr. go at each other?
Yeah, I'm more than okay missing that.
It was almost like that was a sign of the future. I'm standing by Waiters. I refuse to get off that bandwagon. I don't care.
Oh, God. There was a discussion on the NBA After Dark last night about Waiters for a brief second. And, you know, so Zach Lowe was saying that, you know, him and Simmons were two of the last people on Waiters Island, and they're like, so then Chris Ryan was like, I'm the other guy on the island, I built a civilization, I started a religion, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I will send a boat to rescue you guys. Like, I've been off that island since before it existed.
Yep, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying, I'm not going yet. Alright, back to...
Where's Dion Waiters on this top 60 list?
Oh, I'm not that absurd.
They got a first round pick for him. I mean, which is fucking insane. Anyway, let's get back.
13-year-olds again. There we go. That's our target market there. All right, DeMarcus Cousins. He's 10. I don't think it's high enough.
Who in front of him do you not think that the Kings would trade him for?
I would put him above Paul. I would put him above Wall. I would put him above Blake. Without hesitation.
Okay, but then I think that if you take it from the opposite way, there's no way the Clippers are trading Paul or Blake for Boogie, and there's no way the Wizards are trading Wall for Boogie.
The Clippers should trade Blake for Boogie if they had the chance.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
When Boogie had... I think he's a better two-way player than Blake when he has a... when he's in a structured system, when he had Mike Malone as his coach. He was, I think, Boogie was...
See, but you're already qualifying things, and Blake, I think, comes with the same qualifiers. Blake is just really good.
Yes.
Boogie needs a very specific set of circumstances for him to be really good on both ends. Like, he'll always be good on offense when he has the ball in his hands, but if he's not happy, you know, I mean, you saw the of him, there were two of them, one on offense and one on defense, where he's literally just standing above the elbow with his hands on his knees, not moving, staring at the play. And you know, that's the kind of thing Boogie sometimes. And you don't have to qualify things with Blake.
Yeah, but is it too much to ask just not run your organization like a bunch of schmucks? I mean, it's really not that hard.
It shouldn't be, but I mean, is Doc Rivers really not running the Clippers like a schmuck?
With the off-court and trades, yes, I'm very schmucky, but I don't think on the court...
Like, I don't think I have to go into my Doc Rivers, a horrible GM rant again, do I?
No, Austin Rivers has been started games for them before Reddick came back, so I think that speaks more than enough for that. Yeah, I basically think Cousins is the second-best two-way big man in the NBA after Anthony Davis, and I'm going to put more value on a big versus a guard towards that point you made earlier on, that there's more there. So what I then it brings, do I put him above Russ, Steph, Harden? Oh man, I'm going to get killed. I might, but I would really consider it.
It's interesting. It's an interesting discussion for sure. I mean, I don't think... See, the thing... Again, it's... I have to consider the conceit of the column, which is, you know, would Team X trade player Y for player Z if called, offered it straight up? And I don't think that any of those teams would trade any of those guys for Boogie.
If I'm a team trying to make a play for that next superstar and I'm trying to be proactive and look ahead, he's probably the one that I'm looking to target.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't think Gasol's going anywhere this summer. It's unrealistic. Aldridge isn't going. So, like, thinking ahead, like, if you looked at it, you could...
So, like, who's the superstar who's going to be agitating to get out of his situation in 2 years?
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, because the Kings are a disaster.
Yes.
So,
like, you could see the Bledsoe trade coming. You could see the James Harden trade coming. You could see the Kevin Love trade coming. I think Boogie is the next one on that list of that status that gets moved. I think everything's kind of settled here a little bit. Love's going to go back.
I think that you could sort of see it coming, but the Kings are also the type of organization that would just be like, nah, we're not going to do it. We're not going to trade him.
Does he have... When can he get out of his contract?
3 years?
Let's see. I'm going to...
He signed the max extension.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if he had when his out clause is. Basketball Insiders has become the best spot to go to for
I think it's not until like 2017 is sort of the year that he could potentially hit the market.
Okay, just give me 1 second and I will have this information factually. At least going by what Basketball Insiders has, he has no options. So he
because he signed the max, and I don't think you can have an option of that, like the Rose Rule deal. Or no, he didn't get a Rose Rule because he wasn't out.
He's signed through 17-18, and there's no team, there's no player option, there's nothing.
Right, so 2017 would be the year that he could potentially hit the trade market, because that's the point where he'd have 1 year left, and they would probably know he's going to leave if he's going to leave, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they got George Karl now, but, I mean, they're still a disaster of an organization, so who knows.
Do you have Durant, LeBron, Davis? I would have Davis one.
Oh yeah, I mean it's not even close. It's really not a discussion anymore that Davis is the most valuable asset in the league right now.
I think I would put Durant above LeBron. It's nitpicking, but
because of age,
yeah, pretty much. And yeah,
but I also think, you know, again, conceit of the column, Cleveland would not trade LeBron for Durant.
I would say the same the other way too.
Yes, I would agree with that. But you know what? You could say the same about, you know, I don't think either of those teams would trade those guys for Davis either. Actually, yeah, they would. Anybody would trade anything for Davis. Yeah. I would give my firstborn son for Davis to be on Knicks. I would name my firstborn son Unibrow Dubin and give him a unibrow for his entire life if Anthony Davis could be on the Knicks.
Yes, I would. I do sick things to get Anthony Davis on the Knicks. Very, very sick things. I like that Simmons hinted at LeBron doing illegal things during his 2 weeks off and coming back. And Lowe, I was on a podcast, and Lowe was just like, I am not touching that with a 10-foot pole. There's no way I'm going anywhere near your insinuations here.
Yeah, it's always fun when Bill floats a conspiracy theory and Zach is just like, oh God, I don't want to talk about this.
No, he's like, people in the league are listening to this, and Simmons just doesn't give a crap. And Zach's like, no, nope, not doing it. I'm not getting involved in this. I think we didn't hit on everything yet, but I think we hit on enough of this. Is there any?
Let's, so sort of that middle tier. With Harden, Steph, and Russ as 4, 5, and 6, I think it's interesting to consider, like, I don't think any of the three teams would trade any of those guys for any of the other, but I think it's interesting that he has Harden at the top of that list in terms of the trade value.
On the show, he just basically flat out said that it's those three are completely interchangeable. You can put them in any order you want. And I agree with him.
Yeah, I think that that's true also. And I think that, you know, we never really got into, like, the 20 to 10 part of the list, which I think is also interesting order. So if we're going from 20 down to 11, it's Mike Conley at 20, Tony Parker 19, Serge Ibaka 18, Kawhi Leonard 17, Alford 16, Kyle Lowry 15, Damian Lillard 14, LaMarcus Aldridge 13, Marc Gasol 12, and Klay Thompson 11. Now, I don't think that Ibaka is necessarily in the top 20. I think Kawhi Leonard should probably be higher, and I think that Kyle Lowry should probably be lower. But that's, you know, part of my, I think point guards in general are a little bit too high.
Parker's probably a little bit too high with his age, too.
But again, you know, the Spurs would never trade him.
Yep, good point.
But yeah, I mean, I think Kawhi, down at 17, I think he should probably be higher than that. And I think if he'd been healthy this whole season, he would be higher than that.
That's another point he brought up on the show. Did you see the show?
I saw part of it, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, he brought that up on the, that was one of his, him and Ruko and Rose discussed that on the show, that Leonard probably would be higher. If they, no, how they, how it was worded was he would have been high, if it was done right after the NBA finals, he would have been higher is how they worded it.
Another thing, actually, the most interesting name on the list that we didn't talk about, Greg Popovich at 30. I think he should be higher.
If he didn't come out and say that it was possible that Tim Duncan was going to play longer than him 2 weeks ago, I would have agreed with that sentiment.
Wait, I thought he just said that he thinks Duncan will play another year.
He said, no, he said Duncan, he thinks Duncan will play as long as he is not and inhibiting the team being good, as long as he's playing at a high level. And he said he wouldn't be surprised if Duncan lasted longer than him.
Oh, wow. Okay, so maybe not then.
But I agree with the concept of what you were saying, that if this was 5 years ago and we thought Pop had another 10 years in the league, Yeah. How high would you do you think you'd put him?
If he had another 10 years in the league, there are very few players that I wouldn't trade to have Popovich coaching the team. I mean, again, though, you need good players on your team to be good, you know, more than you need a good coach. I mean, the Warriors were really good with Mark Jackson coaching them. The Clippers were really good with Vinny Del Negro coaching them. So, I mean, coaching is important, but you can be good with a bad coach. You can't be good without good players.
I'm trying to think how high I would put him if I knew he had 10 years left.
Like, so for example, two spots ahead of him is Bradley Beal. Like, I think if I'm the Wizards, I would give up Bradley Beal to have Pop replace Randy Whitman.
Yup. No, not even a question. Would
you trade Tim Duncan to have Popovich replace Popovich?
No. That I would not do. I would keep Duncan and Popovich and not trade Popovich for Duncan.
Right. So, like, for example, seven spots ahead of him is Dirk. I would not trade Dirk to have Popovich replace Rick Carlisle, but that's because Rick Carlisle is significantly above replacement level.
I would trade Ibaka for
Popovich. Rick Carlisle is the second best coach in the league.
I would trade, here's a good one, I would trade Ibaka for him and still have Russ and Durant.
But I think it would have to be, you know, like Ibaka and Scott Brooks for Popovich and, like, who's the player get back to replace him? Like Aaron Baines, say. Just, you know, sort of replacement level big man. I think Ibaka is, you know, very important to them. Pretty good defense. Without him, their defense is not nearly as good. I mean, Popovich could figure something out, but
yeah, that's I would trust the Thunder's drafting to be able to get another guy and develop him.
Mitch McGarry.
Stop bringing up that name.
Why?
We talked about this with Fassini. I just get mad because Michigan would have made the Final Four if he was healthy last year.
They would have lost anyway. And all of their still suck in the NBA.
Besides him.
And a guard.
All the guards do suck, fine. You don't have to be so mean.
I'm just, you know, deflecting because Shane hasn't been touched.
He's been okay. Like, really, like, on the lower level of okay.
He's looked basically exactly like he did as a freshman at Miami.
Which is a good sign, because eventually he got good, if you want to be positive about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he only got good the next year because he came in as, like, the surefire starting point guard, and all of the sort of timidity about going to the basket and taking shots off the dribble and things like that disappeared. But I don't think he'll ever have that situation in the NBA.
We're breaking rules right now. We're talking about the Knicks. So
yeah, we're not talking about the Knicks.
Yeah, let's stop.
Well, he's going to be gone from the Knicks next year anyway, so we're not talking about the Knicks. Anyway, trade value.
Anything? Do you have anything else you want to add in? I think I've babbled enough.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love at 52, I think he's way too low. But this was also, you know, written 2 weeks ago before the Cavs won, you know, 14 or 15 or whatever it is. Although, I mean, LeBron is, like, subtweeting the shit out of him, both on Twitter and, like, in the press, which is hilarious. But
LeBron's been such a weird dude this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a motivational speaker almost. It's strange.
But he's not very good at being a motivational speaker.
Yeah, I mean, he's a basketball player, not a motivational speaker. So
we don't know what he's.
I don't know very many motivational speakers that are really good at basketball, but LeBron is.
That's unfair to be good at two things. You should only be allowed one.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they should have to, like, give stuff up to us who aren't very good and give us some of their talent. I think that's a good rule.
Yeah, I'll take Anthony Davis's freak of natureness as my talent.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like, if someone's really good at football, they can't be good at basketball, and I should get their power of being good at basketball.
Well, LeBron was really good at football. He was, like, the best wide receiver in Ohio.
I never watched any of that's something I need to do. I've never watched him play football. I'm sure it's all over YouTube. I've never seen that. I've seen Iverson play.
I don't know if it's all over. But I mean, I've seen clips. I mean, you know, the dude is gigantic. Like, you throw the ball up, he's going to catch it.
Yeah, you could see him being like a Kelvin Benjamin type wide receiver, or even tight end, or a bigger dude who plays tight end.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing people always say about him is, you know, he'd be a great tight end. See, I feel like, you know, unleash him as like a free safety or a defensive end.
That you could play, that we can realistically have a discussion about LeBron James, and we're talking about him playing, how many people in football could you talk about like that? Like, oh, he could play wide receiver, tight end, defensive end, or free safety. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is a crazily sized and shaped and athletic human, so.
Well, since we're now talking about LeBron James playing football, do you have anything you would like to plug before we end this?
Yeah, I would definitely, definitely, definitely trade Brandon Carr for LeBron.
Hey.
No, I have nothing to plug right now.
What about, you write about football.
I do write about football. You can catch my stuff at cbssports.com. You know, I'm all over the internet, basketball-wise, a bunch of different places. You know, I'll have things going up when they go up. Nothing specific as of this moment. Be sure to check out HP Basketball Network, Hardwood Paroxysm, Podium Game, Nylon Calculus, Friendly Bounce, all of the other 97 sites we have.
My podcast has basically become a free promotional tool for cbssports.com. That's good. It's very nice of me, I must say myself.
HP just cranks out those CBS guys, so.
Yeah, they do.
Now there's, so it's Matt, Zach, James, AP, me, and Sam are all at CBS, and, you know, that's, what is that, six guys? It's a lot.
Yes, for one website. And CBS does, I like all those Ion basketball, and then whatever it's called for you for football, and they do it for
Ion football.
Oh, is it just Ion, yeah. Is it Ion baseball also?
Yeah, and Ion college basketball, Ion college football, Ion blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so look at those. Those are good to read. Jared stuff. He had a cool first-round pick about quarterbacks that I liked. That was enjoyable to read, so check that out. That wraps up the trade edition of the Podium Gate podcast. Jared, enjoy All-Star Weekend, and we'll talk again soon.